Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. As always, to our guests, we welcome you to the Southeast Church of Christ. We thank you for being here this morning. We hope that you will be willing to share your contact information with us. If you don't mind, we'd love to keep in contact with you. If you have any questions or if you have anything that you'd like to study from the Word of God or anything you'd like God's Word to answer for you, we'd be more than happy to sit with you and to be able to search those answers together with our Bibles in hand. Before we begin, we want to ask everyone to please make sure that their cell phones are off or the sound on their cell phones are off. Please make sure that your any kind of electronic equipment, any tablets, any iPads that you may have, we want to be focused. We want to give our God our very best, and we want to be reverent before His presence because the Almighty is indeed worthy of such honor and such respect. So please, please, even if you're sure, please double check, triple check, quadruple check. We don't want to risk doing anything that could perhaps disturb our worship or that can take away from our God's reverence. Once more, we thank you for being here this morning. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we will get into the final class of this trimester that we've been seeing in regards to what healthy growth looks like. So if you will, please bow with me. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we come before Thy throne of grace with much reverence and with humility and love and joy. Father, we bow before Thy feet, giving Thee all honor and glory, for truly Thou art worthy of such praise. Father, we thank You for granting us the blessing of this day to open our eyes, Father, and to continue living on this in this world, so that today on this first day of the week, we, Father, may arrive to this building and assemble as Thy saints to worship Thee in spirit and in truth in accordance to Thy will. Father, this morning as we begin by studying Thy Word, we ask, Lord, that You grant us the strength to be able to focus, to be able to concentrate, and to give Thee our full attention. That those, Father, who are also teaching others in classrooms this morning, that they too, Father, may have that ability to bring to memory what they have studied, what they have prepared, what they, Father, seek to share of Thy Word. Lord, be with this Thy servant. Allow me, Father, to bring to mind, Father, those things that give Thee all honor and glory. And Lord, as we begin this day of worship, Father, that every act that we're about to do, that it may be done so, Father, in a manner that is pleasing in Thy sight, and that it will be a sweet-smelling aroma in Thy presence. Father, bless those teachers who are teaching this morning, not here, not only here at Southeast, but, Father, throughout all of Thy church, throughout the world, Father. For all those who are teaching and preaching, for those who are leading songs, who are leading that memorial service of the Lord's Supper, who are, Father, leading that prayer, for leading prayer and leading, Father, our thoughts and being thanksgiving through our collection for the saints. In every act of worship, Father, every brother who is participating, Father, bless them for having that love, that diligence, and that desire to want to be a part and to be active, Father, in Thy worship service. We thank You, Father, for giving us the honor to serve, and we thank You, Father, for allowing us such a great privilege. Father, not only for those who are participating actively, but also for those who are participating with their presence by listening actively, Lord, by soaking in those lessons, Father, in every one of these acts, Father. Bless them as well, for they've made the time, Father, and they are here now. And for those of our brothers and sisters who have the desire and the zeal, but because of their health or because of other circumstances outside of their control, they will not be able to join us or go and attend, Father, a place of worship. Please, Father, allow them to be able to find a way in the next appointed time, and that if it is because of their health, that they, Father, may be able to regain their strength through those doctors, through those nurses, and through that medicine, so that they, too, can rejoice with us in this spiritual feast. We thank You, Father, once again for the many blessings. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins, and we pray this not because we're worthy, but we do it in the glorious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we've been studying for the past 3 months what healthy growth looks like. And we've been taking the analogy given by the Apostle Paul of the human body. But this time, I want you to open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4. Verses 30 through 32, as you can see on that Da Vinci piece up there. Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. The Bible reads, "Then he said, 'To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade.'" What type of parable is this? If we were to use the word proverb, we're going to take a little bit of Wednesday's lesson and we're going to apply it to tonight, to this morning. What kind of parable would you call this to be? Is it a historical one? Is it didactic? Metaphorical? Is it an allegory? Well, notice verse 30, right? It's a simile. Very good. We know it's a simile because Jesus begins by saying, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God?" He's making a comparison. Therefore, seeing that a simile is a figure of speech, there are many things that we have to learn about ourselves and our identity as Christians, but also as the church through this parable. Christ here is telling us something about who we are. And notice where we all begin. We all begin as a mustard seed, right? Now we know that in another parable, Jesus calls the seed the Word of God. But in this case, Christ is telling us that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Notice verse 31. It is like a mustard seed. Remember, Christ first asked the question, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God?" So every time we see the word seed in a parable, it is not always talking about the Word of God. We have to remember this. In this parable, it is not talking, or rather the seed is not being used to speak about the Word of God. But rather, Christ tells us that the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed. So it's talking about you and I. It's talking about us. And therefore, because it is talking about us, we then have to think about the mustard seed and the components that Christ brings up about the mustard seed, that he is making, drawing those parallels to the church. Now, once more, we all begin as a mustard seed. Why is it important to begin this way? What does that teach us about us? Remember, what we've been talking about is identity. We talk about how when we know who we are, when we know what we are, we're going to grow and we're going to know our purpose. We're going to develop healthily. And not only are we going to grow individually, we're going to grow into our family. We're going to know what our role is in the home, right? A father knows that he's the father, and therefore his role in the home is to be what? The leader, the head of the household. The wife knows that she's a mother, and therefore she knows that her role in the home is what? Guide the children. To guide the children, or to be a helpmeet, right? The children know they are the children, and therefore their role is what? To obey their parents and to learn from them while they're under their home, right? To learn and be obedient, to honor mother and father. So when each person knows who they are individually, pay attention how they then know who they are as a home. They know who they are as a family. And each person does their part. When the child is disobedient, when the child is dishonoring their parents, when the child does not follow instruction, what happens to that home? It gets weak. It brings the father's leadership into question, doesn't it? It brings the mother's guidance into question. And because that child is being disruptive and dishonorable, it begins to cause strain on the marriage between husband and wife. So pay attention to that. When one component of the body begins to dysfunction, it will affect the rest as a whole. Well, now, we're going to take this portrait as we're studying, right? And if you will, this is the end product, right? I know it's not a mustard tree. I know it's not a fig tree. Just use your imagination, okay? So, but notice that this is the end goal, right? The end goal of a church that is healthily growing is that from the outside, you can tell that that tree is healthy. What is one of the first signs that a tree that is not doing well gives you?
Brown leaves.
Brown leaves, out of season, right? Why are brown leaves a telltale sign of producing? So, when a tree begins to give off brown leaves and it's not fall, right? In the springtime or in the summer, we always are able to tell that tree needs more what? More water. That tree is missing water. That tree is not receiving enough fertilizer, right? But us that are not aware of exactly the science behind this, the botanical science, right? Those are our first thoughts. But did you know that sometimes it could be that the soil is not producing enough CO2? Did you know that sometimes it could be that the soil is missing a certain mineral that is necessary for that plant or for that tree? So what needs to be tested in order to know if it is indeed just missing water or if it is something else? How can you tell whether the water is the issue or if it's missing a mineral or a certain gas? What do you test? You test the soil. You test the soil. Where else do we read about a seed and the soil? How many fields did Jesus talk about? And in that case, the seed was the Word of God. Was the problem the seed, or was the problem three of the four soils? The soil. So the first thing we need to understand is that Jesus here is talking about fertile soil. He's talking about the last land that he mentioned, the soil that is to produce 30-1, 100-1. We being in the kingdom of God are the ones upon whose hearts the seed actually grew. It actually germinated, and it actually began to grow roots, and it began to grow. Notice that Christ here is describing a healthy Christian, and therefore he's also describing a healthy church. Once more, it is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. So notice, Jesus here is talking about a healthy, strong, firm church, isn't he? He's not talking about congregations that are tossed to and fro like children, as we see in Ephesians chapter 4. He's not talking about a lukewarm church, as he does in Revelation chapter 3. But he's talking about a solid congregation. He's talking about a church that has grown. But we all start in the same place, don't we? We all start as seeds. If you were to talk about Abraham's faith, did Abraham always have the faith that he had when he was willing to sacrifice Isaac? How did he get there?
Trials, tests
along the way. So what does that tell us about Abraham's faith? So Abraham's faith, right? Went from being a seed, and it grew into a tree. All of us start the same way. This is why it's important to know our identity. As Christians and as the church, we all start off from less to more. If we are not growing, if we are still in the same seed form, then something is wrong with us. The problem is with the soil, not with the seed, yeah? So we have to see then that this is why we've been talking this entire time about knowing our identity. Because this is what we're supposed to look like. You know, when people see us, our leaf must never wither away. What does Psalm 1 verse 3 say? Someone can please read Psalm 1 verse 3. So pay attention to that. If you read verse 1, remember that verse 3 is talking about a man who has kept himself away from evil influences, who has kept himself spotless from evil direction. The blessed man, in other words. But notice, he is like a tree. Two things very important about this tree. It always gives fruit in its season, and its leaf never withers away. It's an evergreen, right? It's an evergreen tree. That tree that's by the river, the sun doesn't scorch it. The winter doesn't bite it. Of course it does. The seasons happen still. But because that tree keeps itself by the river, because its roots are always immersed in water, submerged in water, it's going to be able to survive the scorching heat. It's going to be able to survive the biting cold. We, brethren, have to be rooted in Christ, don't we? Colossians chapter 2 tells us that we need to be uprooted in Christ. We have to be rooted in Christ. Jesus is the rock upon which we are being built. When he talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount, and he invites us to build upon the rock, notice that Jesus there compares his teachings to that rock. If anyone hears these words of mine and does them, I shall compare him to a man who built upon the rock. Notice, the rock there is the doctrine that Jesus was giving them. The lessons that he was teaching. He is the rock. So, the soil, brethren, becomes fed by the Word of God. The soil becomes, it's made healthy, and it's prepared by the Word of God. And when that soil and the seed come together, the soil is ready to receive the seed so that the seed can then sprout, so that it can then develop. So we have to study the Bible. That's the water that's feeding our roots. We have to be submerged in the Word of God because this is the river of living waters. The doctrine of Christ is what keeps our leaves always green. Following the commandments of Christ is what will always give forth fruit in due season. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Notice the words that the Apostle Paul uses there, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Beginning there at verse 6, Colossians chapter 6. Beginning at verse 6. Galatians chapter 6. Beginning at verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all things. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now notice verse 9. And let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. A tree that does not have enough minerals, that does not have enough nutrients, or is not getting enough water, grows weary, doesn't it? I remember last year when we spent most of the summer with no rain. And I remember these trees out here. And I remember seeing their leaves and their branches just droop. And I remember looking at them and thinking to myself, wow, how curious. These trees look like they have no life. They look drained. They look that they are exhausted because they had no water. But when it rained, the branches and the leaves perked up. They became lively again because they received water. Brethren, when we are going through trials and tribulations, this is when we turn to the Word of God. This is when we turn to the promises of God. Because we are going to sometimes grow weary like the trees. Life is going to scorch us. Sometimes there are going to be some cold winters. We're going to go through some difficult seasons in our lives. But that is when we have to drink of the water of the Spirit. That is when we have to remember on the promises of God. Passages such as Hebrews 13, where God promises, I will not forsake you. Such as Psalm 46:10, stand still and know that I am God. We have to remember John chapter 16, do not fear, I have conquered the world. These are the promises that are nutrients and minerals that should give us the strength to not lose fruit. What sustains us and what keeps us alive is the Word of God. Not only the Word of God, pay attention also to verse 8 or verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good. We have to keep producing fruit. You know, we have to keep giving forth fruit. We can't get tired of working. We can't get tired of doing what our purpose is. It's not just about having the knowledge in my mind. It's not just about knowing the Bible and being able to quote it. It's not just about understanding it. The whole purpose of studying the Bible is so that we can apply it. Wisdom is the application of God's Word, is it not? I will not foresee the end until before it begins if I don't actually put it into practice. So, the fruit that we have to give manifests itself in the wisdom from above. But if I don't start by studying, which is the first wise thing that I can do, I'm never going to grow. And in this tree that is the kingdom of God, I'm going to be one of those branches that is not with the rest and is sticking up with no leaves, no fruit, and it's dry. Anybody ever climb trees when you were little? Yeah? Anyone ever fall off a tree while you were climbing it when you were little? I fell from a tree once, and I was very high up. You want to guess what was my mistake as I was climbing on it? I stepped on a what? I stepped on a dead branch. The branch didn't look like it was dead. Or at least I didn't pay attention, if I'm honest. It looked solid. It was pretty thick in my sight. But even though it was actually pretty thick, when I stepped on it, because it was dry, it had no fruit, whatever water was going to the rest of the tree was not going to that branch, when I put my weight on it, because I know you may not know this, but I used to be heavyset. You know, that's when I found out how heavyset I am. That branch broke, snapped right off. It was a dry branch. And because I stepped on a branch that looked and appeared to be solid, it appeared to be alive, it appeared to be connected to the tree. When I stepped on it, it turns out that that branch had long been separated from that tree. It just hadn't been pruned. The reason I remember is because I fell right on my spine on one of the roots. That was painful. I couldn't even cry of how hard I fell. I'll never forget that. I was probably about 9 years old when that happened to me. I always tell people that's the reason why I didn't grow. I was supposed to be taller, right? But notice, even though it's connected to the tree, it doesn't mean that it's a part of the tree anymore. It begins to show itself separated from the rest of the tree because it has no leaves. It has no fruit. It has no life. It's dry. It looks like part of the tree. It's still connected to the rest of the tree, but it's long been separated because inwardly that tree is dry. That branch, excuse me, is dry. It's dead. Three things our Lord tells us show what a healthy tree looks like. And as the church, these things in this parable are the things that we should be showing as a congregation. Go back to Mark chapter 4. Verse 31. It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. We all begin from less to more. We're not all going to begin as trees. We all begin as a seed. And when we are humble and meek, we remember this. We have to be humble. In order for a church to have a healthy growth, that congregation needs to remember that we serve God. God doesn't serve us. We have to be humble. We have to be meek in recognizing that without Christ, we can do nothing. That we are not able to do it on our own. And if we are new or old in our Christianity, it doesn't change the fact that we will always be a servant. We will serve God, but we will serve ourselves or one another, but we also serve the world. Yes, you heard that right. As the church, we too have to serve the world. What do you think the Great Commission is? You know, I find it interesting. We call it gospel meetings, but yet 90% of the audience are Christians. And we're teaching Christians the gospel news of salvation, which they've all already obeyed. I always find that fascinating. Well, you know, if they've already been obedient to the gospel, why are we preaching them the gospel again? And it's okay to be reminded, right? We have to. But notice, even events like that are serving the world. We're trying to bring the lost to find Christ. By being godly examples, by being the salt and light of the world, we're serving the world. When Christ came to the world, he came to serve mankind. He didn't come to serve himself. So the first thing we need to realize is that healthy growth begins by being humble, by being meek, never losing sight that we're servants and nothing more than servants. Whether you are a brand new born Christian or you are an elder in the Lord's church. You serve Christ as a new Christian, you serve Christ as an elder. You serve the brotherhood as a new Christian, you serve the brotherhood as an elder. So notice that you serve the world as a new Christian, you serve the world as an elder. The key word there is serve. So the first thing we have to remember is that when God called us, He didn't call us because of our merit. He didn't choose us because of our talents. He did not choose us because we have something great to offer. Because He's God. He can choose the least likely candidate and give them our talents. You know, Amos is a beautiful example of this. If you will, go with me to the book of Amos. You know, when we're doing the Minor Prophets here at Southeast, Amos became one of my favorite prophets because of the fact that I relate to him when I studied this part of it. Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. Amos chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For this Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, Go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah, there eat bread, and there prophesy. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. Now notice verse 14, Amos' response. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Amaziah was trying to belittle Amos when he called him a seer. He was trying to belittle Amos as in, hey, you're not, who do you think you are? You're a sheep breeder. You're a tender sycamore tree. And Amos acknowledges it. You're right. I am. Nor was my father a prophet. I am the least likely candidate. But what does it say when the Lord called me instead of the prophets of the land of Jeroboam? We were not chosen because we had something that God did not have. God is powerful enough to make anyone a mighty servant. But this is why the Apostle Paul says, by God's grace, I have been given this ministry. We begin growing by decreasing our ego, our opinions, and our thoughts of ourselves. If I start to believe, well, God chose me because, man, I'm a great speaker. Well, I can see why God made me a preacher, you know. I learn things very quickly. I'm like a sponge. That's why God chose me. No. He chose you by grace. He gave you that opportunity to serve Him by grace. Not by your own merit. Not by what you had to offer. But because He's graceful. And as Ephesians 2:4 says, or 5, excuse me, He is rich in mercy. You know, it's interesting. Go back to Mark chapter 4. It's beautiful that Christ, again, is telling us about our identity. And what He begins by telling us, notice chapter 4. The last part of verse 31, in regards to the mustard seed, that it is smaller than all seeds on earth. Who are the ones that Jesus was always eating with? Was He rubbing elbows with the elite of the Israelite community? I'm sorry? Sinners. Tax collectors. Oftentimes, the criticism from the Pharisees was what? If he knew the sinners that he is eating with. Notice what Jesus is saying here. When John the Baptizer sent word, asked him, "Are you the one?" Which people did Jesus surround himself with as he sent back the message? The blind see? The lame are walking again? And the poor are being taught the gospel. Jesus didn't choose mighty warriors. He didn't choose kings. He did not choose the high priest or the priests. He chose the lowest of the low, didn't he? And from that position, he elevated him to the highest of the high. We went from being slaves of sin to kings and priests. Think about that. I know that in our current time, hearing, you know, that we have been made free doesn't really have an impact, because in this world and in this country, we are blessed to rejoice and enjoy freedom. But at that time when Jesus said those words, at that time when Paul wrote those words, you have to remember what it was like to live in Rome. Because the majority of the Roman society was in bondage because of debt. The majority of the population of Roman society was composed of slaves. And it took a lot of money, and it took a lot of work and a lot of effort for a slave to earn his freedom. It was no easy feat. But if the master of that slave had compassion on him and decided to pardon his debt and give him his freedom, many times those slaves, out of gratitude, would remain working for that master even though they no longer had to. Because the master could have had free labor that entire time. So we begin by reminding that we are the smallest of all the seeds. We have to be humble. We don't have to make it about us. The growth of the church depends on me in accordance to my service to Christ, not to my wit, not to my strengths, not to what I am best at. No. How can I serve Christ the best? How can I serve my brother and my sister the best? How do I serve the world the best? Never losing sight that I am a servant. Number two, notice, but when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs. I cannot remain as a seed. I can't always be a seed. I have to grow. I have to get out. You ready for this? Out of my shell. I can't always be a seed. There has to be a transformation. As a reference, go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. And again, it's a reference. I know that the context is not talking about that, but I want to bring something out that can perhaps shed a little bit of light into what we're saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 35. But someone will say, "How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. When you plant the tree, a full-grown tree, did you plant it like that from the very beginning? Is that what the seed looked like? You know, when I was in California earlier this year and I finally got to see the redwoods, do you really think I was able to pick up one of those redwoods and just plant it like nothing? Yeah, I want to take one of those to Texas. I'm going to plant it. No. But that redwood started off as a what? something small, something that you can have in the palm of your hand. That was one of the things that really blew my mind when I was out there. When I was looking at that magnificent tree, I was thinking to myself, how could something so big come from something so small? The same is true about our bodies, isn't it? We weren't in the womb of our mother as a grown adult. That would have killed her. We all started off as a seed, didn't we? But healthy growth was made apparent that we didn't always remain as an embryo. We grew. We developed. We were full grown. We have to grow. We have to mature. We have to develop. We have to move on from a seed into a tree. We're going to look different. We're going to transform. We're going to change. If we are still the same person before we're baptized, we have not broken through the shell. We're having a problem in developing. And that either is a problem with the soil, or it's a problem with a lack of water. But I have to grow. The growth has to be apparent. Do you think that you would confuse a seed and a tree by looking them side by side? If I put a seed next to a tree, let me ask somebody else. Grandma, if I put a seed next to a tree, could you tell the difference as to which one's the tree and which one's the seed? Pretty easy, right? Would anyone in here? No, I ask you. Alex, would you ever confuse a tree and a seed? No. Why not? Because one's a seed and one's a tree. And even though the seed and the tree are the same kind, the difference is what? One is full grown, one is still in its infancy. So pay attention to what Jesus is saying in 1 Corinthians 4. You see? Pay attention to what Jesus is saying in Mark 4, I'm sorry. Christ is saying that a portrait or a picture of healthy growth is that you can visually see the difference. You can visually see the growth, the development. The development has to be seen. The transformation has to take place. Verse 32, but when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches. We not only grow up, we expand. We start with one talent, but as we grow, we begin to branch out more talents. Bethany's in my head right now with all these puns. So notice, we have to branch out. We can't always just keep doing the one thing that I'm good at and never want to learn more. You know, what does Brother David on Cecil like to infamously say about me? That I did what? What did I do to you, according to you, brother? Which is a lie, by the way. I chipped off his comfort zone. No, I didn't. He broke out of a shell. Amen. You see that? He branched out. He already had the talent to sing because in college he told me he used to be a part of a quartet, right, brother? Or something like that? But you know what he had not done? Teach a devotional. Preach a Sunday evening. Those of you that just met him, you're meeting a man who does teach and preach now. He branched out. When I got here 9 years ago, he was not one of our deacons. He's one of our deacons now. He branched out. You see? A healthy growth doesn't just go vertically, it also goes horizontally. We have to branch out. We have to try to be versatile in the kingdom of God. We have to try. You know, I remember, I was just thinking about this the other day, one Wednesday evening where we had no song leaders and only Orion and I were here. And I was going to lead the singing, and Orion's like, nah, brother, we'll do it together. We're both terrified because we are both horrible song leaders. But we branched out. We did it because we wanted to serve God. It wasn't about how well I could sing, because I know it's not my talent, but I did it to the best of my ability and I tried with what I had learned so far. We have to branch out. When we make excuses for why I don't want to learn or why I don't want to even try, I'm cutting myself short. And then finally, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade, a congregation that is healthy will be a safe place. A congregation that is growing, a congregation that is healthy and spiritual, will be a safe place. We are going to want to be here. As Christians, we're going to come here and we're going to feel that here we receive times of refreshing. But we don't only provide shade for one another, we also provide shade for non-Christians. You see how we are serving the world? These birds have to be able to feed from our fruit. We become a safe place. We become a safe haven. People will know that there, the voice of God's saints is heard because they are godly men and women whom God hears when they pray. There, the Spirit of God dwells because they worship in spirit and in truth, and the love and the warmth of their embrace can be felt. So as we conclude this trimester, a healthy growth can be visually seen when we humble ourselves, when we develop and grow, when we branch out to provide a safe and comfortable dwelling place. Our time is up. Thank you all for your attention. May God bless each and every one of you.